This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of Kyle Tucker's second straight three-hit game, lifting the Cubs to a 2-1 victory over Miami to win that series and deliver their fifth victory in six games? Tucker homered and was involved in Matt Shaw's game-winning run in the eighth inning. Is he officially out of his slump?
Wow. May we all have slumps like that, right? I mean, yes, he was responsible for the runs. I believe you heard the manager say after the game, he provided the offense, and he sure did. Yeah, Kyle Tucker, man, good player. That is fun to watch, and he's back. Not that, I mean, he kind of did the superhero act, and then it was kind of like, hey, what, is he slowed down his hitting? I haven't seen him hit as much as he's hitting. Oh, don't worry about it. He'll be fine. Guess what? Don't worry about it.
He's fine.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So good to see. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, as the old poem goes. When you're going against a team like that, make sure you win the series. That's all I'm saying. You got a lot of tough games over the course of a baseball season, and you are better than some teams. And even on the road, even though it's difficult, make sure you win series against teams that you are better than. And the Cubs have done that, and it is a good thing to see. And they did so again yesterday, and that sets them up nicely heading into division play, right? You want to make sure that you're not giving away a game that you would regret later. I think they'd have regretted losing that game because they did enough to win it. And they did win it. So congratulations to Kyle Tucker. He is a hell of a baseball player, and he's going to cash a lot of money at the end of the year. Hope he sticks around.
Yeah, interesting to see another game as the DH. So that was back-to-back games as the DH. Said in the post game that he had, you know, almost like mentally had worked on something, wasn't feeling 100% mentally, and had worked through something.
Did he bang his mind on the wall?
Perhaps.
Sorry.
I think Kyle Tucker batting second is where he seems most comfortable. Not that it matters too much, but I think he was definitely the guy that he's been for most of the season. His slump really wasn't that bad. And he came through with three hits when the Cubs needed him most. Going deep again. Yeah, he's the guy that after every outing like this, you start to be asked, well, is that the guy that they're going to spend $500 million to keep? Let it play out. There are two guys to retain. I think Tucker is probably a higher priority than PCA, only because they have more control over PCA for longer. By the way, Pete Carr Armstrong batting fourth, that's a real interesting decision. Craig Council likes his righty-lefty, righty-lefty, and to alternate the guys like that, because Pete Carr Armstrong batting fourth, I thought that was almost a nod to Dustin, because Michael Bush playing first base was not batting fourth, and I think that Dustin has been critical, understandably so, and wondering if the first baseman always has to bat fourth. So that was another kind of wrinkle to the Cubs batting order. But when they are scoring runs, how they're scoring runs, they only got two yesterday, and you didn't really worry about that, because they offense needed a day off, because they've been carrying this team. The run scoring potential and the output for this team and production through 50 games has been historic. They have 14 innings, I think it is, where they scored five or more runs. It's crazy.
Which might answer your question.
Oh, that's the voice of Gordon Whitmire. He'll talk some Cubs and Reds with you guys at 9. How big was the Cubs series win over the Marlins? What was the most significant development? Cade Horton, strong start, or Daniel Palencia's big finish?
Well, I think Palencia gave you hope that if Porter Hodge, who started playing catch yesterday, can't come back right away, there is a potential solution at the back end of the bullpen. And maybe it's temporary, but it also could be lasting if he builds up some confidence and has some more moments like yesterday. Cade Horton's start, while yes, he had to escape danger he created for himself, was impressive. It was his second start and third straight appearance where you left thinking he belongs. And I don't think that he needs to go anywhere. Keep him in the rotation. There's plenty of room for him to contribute to this team, which seems to be going somewhere. But the best thing about this victory, besides those two specific young pitchers coming through in the clutch, the best thing was it was 2-1. It wasn't 14-3. It wasn't 8-7. It wasn't a game where you had to rely upon your big bats to do some more booming and to carry you to victory. This was a game that they won on the margins. It was low scoring, and they eked it out. Good teams eke out one-run games as well as they can outslug teams, and the Cubs can do both, and this is a great example.
Yeah, and it was good to see younger guys that you've been developing and hoping would get up to this level and contribute at some point, contributed to that win. We talked about what Matt Shaw did at the plate,
yep,
what he maybe didn't do in the field. You know, Daniel Palencia, that was good, obviously good enough. And, you know, again, Horton, David, you're right. I mean, listen, you're not going to – if you want your best arms – we've heard this from the Cubs before, and this was a few years ago when they weren't very good. You want your best arms up at the big league level across the board. You want out-getters, right? So these guys – Cade Horton's a guy who's an out-getter, but I would keep Cade Horton in the rotation – before I'd keep Ben Brown in the rotation.
Thank you, me too.
And part of that was, and it was a big part of the broadcast yesterday, was the changeup.
New pitch.
That Cade Horton is working on and feeling comfortable with, and when he's delivering that, and his work with Amaya. Again, that's something else that's going to develop over time, because this is a young pitcher and a young catcher that haven't done a whole hell of a lot together, and they're developing a bond. That's important. So this was, listen, is bad as the loss was, this was as good of a win because of the low score, 2-1. You'd like to see the offense do a little bit more. I'm a little concerned about Ian Happ, right? So he's 1-10 in his two games back at the top of the order.
Right.
So maybe the day off. Maybe listen, isn't he really good in Cincinnati?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's where he thrives in Cincinnati. So maybe this will help, and another day off will help. But, you know, maybe one of those games we'll see if they actually DH him and move Suzuki back over to
and
left.
Maybe move him down in the order.
Those two games were kind of his rehab stint, and then he's going to get a day off and head to Cincinnati. So I think he's going to be okay. I think if to answer the question, Cade Horton greater than and the most important thing that happened yesterday, because he did not have a smooth outing. He did get into some trouble, and he pitched his way out of it. And he is getting more and more impressive every time you see him. I agree that he does belong, and I loved seeing him with every time he used that pitch, it worked, by the way. So it's good to see him developing pitches. It feels a lot like Ben Brown's a two-pitch pitcher and belongs in the bullpen, ultimately might be where he is before very long, depending on how long it takes people to get back. I know it's into June, and it's only the 22nd of May. But I got to say, Daniel Palencia, you know, he's supposedly, why is he in that role? Because he's got swing and miss stuff. He didn't miss much. Those were fly outs, and there were some loud outs at the end of that game. And you couldn't help but think, if it were a windy day at Wrigley, I'm not sure that's the guy you want coming in and closing a game. So God bless him. Everything worked out. You can run like a thief in the night and take it. But I still would rather see like a giant offensive explosion without use of a closer.
2-1 was good.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
Voice of Bruce Levine. He'll join you guys in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. How do you explain Shane Smith's bizarre start for the Sox? Was he unprepared for the inclement weather? Smith, who rarely gives up walks, walked the first two batters, then gave up a three-run homer before he settled down, going five innings with just two hits, two walks, six Ks. He had the lead when he left the game.
Yeah. Listen, as I texted you, I am now drowning in coffee debt, for God's sake. It's just getting out of control. Never bet on the White Sox. That's underscore that lesson. But Shane Smith, it was bizarre only because the only two walks of the game he had were the first two pitchers. He's not a walks guy. And then he gave up the dinger, and that was it. That was all that he did wrong the rest of the way. He only gave up one hit the rest of the way, and he struck out six guys, and he was dominant. He had a dominant start, other than he looked so out of it coming out on the mound. I don't know if it was the cold and the rain. They said that at game time it was 52, felt like 41. Whatever it was,
it was awful.
He couldn't throw a strike, and that's not him. So, you know, he walks two guys, and then he gives up a dinger. After that, the guy had a hell of a start. He was really good. I think he struck out two of the three that he got out in that inning. And, you know, he ended up throwing a pretty good game. But, you know, they got no bullpen at all, and they're the White Sox, and they're not built to win.
I mean, they are the first place Mariners, and maybe he wasn't used to that cold weather. It was, again, we talked about it a couple times. It was a miserable day yesterday. It's just not a day for baseball, not a day for a whole heck of a lot outdoors if you didn't have to be. And again, some days we would celebrate the fact that it was 45 degrees out, like in March, not at the end of May, not on the third Wednesday before the holiday that supposedly kicks off summer.
Shane Smith has been very good. He's been very consistent. Yesterday, I started to wonder for the first time, like, now should the Sox use an opener? Because maybe he wasn't ready for that game or whatever, for whatever reason. Maybe he wasn't acclimated yet. But it was odd because of how he reacted to not being ready. And this is somebody who, that definitely was the exception to his rule this year. And I don't know what it was except for things you guys just described. But I wouldn't get too carried away in giving up on him or being disappointed in him. He's been more good than bad. It just was strange, and they needed him to be consistent. It's frustrating because there's so much about the Sox that are things that are frustrating. But they hit three home runs and lose. I don't know if they're going to hit three home runs in the next series. So you hit three home runs, you'd like to win the game that you hit three home runs, especially when you have your best starting pitcher on the mound.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That's a great question.
Ben Johnson with a great question for us. And did you like hearing about Ben Johnson's fiery approach on just the second day of install? There were plenty of mental errors and mistakes, and Johnson reportedly yelled at tight end Cole Kmet, local guy made good, at one point when he lined up in the wrong spot. Do you like it? Do the players like it?
I like everything that I heard from Ben Johnson yesterday. It was an easy day for a Bears fan to feel even better about the head coach who's here to essentially fix everything from the offense to the public relations to the quarterback to everything about the Bears that have frustrated people for too long. And I do appreciate his fiery approach to practice. This is Ben Johnson's personality coming out on the field. Maybe he's not sure how he would react as a head coach holding the walkie-talkie and squeezing it like a stress ball, as Ruthie described. And maybe he doesn't know yet how critical he will be of players who are veterans like Cole Kmet, but that's okay. He's authentic. He's himself. And that's who he was addressing the Caleb Williams issue from the get-go before being asked a question. Why did he do it that way? I don't know if it was even a conscious effort. It was just, this is the way he deals with crises. Head on. There's not going to be a lot of ambiguity with Ben Johnson. I don't think you're ever going to wonder where you stand with him. Whether it's a reporter in the press corps or a player in his huddle, you're going to know what Ben Johnson thinks about what's going on. That's refreshing. So I liked everything that we saw. Yeah, it's only the second day of install. Yes, it's May, and he hasn't coached a game yet as a head coach. But the early indications are this guy is going to be worth the money.
Wouldn't you like Hard Knocks to be up at Hallis Hall this offseason instead of last offseason? Yeah, I mean, you like everything you heard. And one of the things that we did not know collectively, and I know I asked a lot about out loud, was whether or not Ben Johnson could lead the room. Could he be a leader of men, and could he get the defense's attention? And I think right now the answers are yes, yes, and yes.
You know, I think that the key to the question really could be found on just the second day of install. So I think this is exactly when you need this. I think you need a guy who doesn't have great relationships with the players. He's just meeting them. A guy who still is sort of, they're looking at and wondering, what is he? How does he do it? They don't know him. I think this is exactly the time to sort of lay out, this is how it's going to be. This is how I'm going to do it. This is what is expected of you. You know, I can imagine that might wear on people over a period of time, but I don't think it'll keep up in that intensity level over a period of time, because I think they'll start doing things right and he won't have to go after them after a certain period of time. I also think these are the same players that went to coaches last year. Didn't we hear that whole thing? We want to be coached. Don't be afraid to coach. All right, you got a guy now who's going to put a boot on you. You want to be coached? This guy will coach you. So make sure that you take the coaching and you do well with the coaching. I got a lot of good feelings about Ben Johnson. I think that it's not too difficult to like the things that he's doing. And I do like that he is in people's grill and that he's paying this kind of attention, because it's the attention to detail that matters. It's that tells you how to win, and they have a serious problem with that here. So he's got to get that all ironed out, and he's got to be coaching. And if he can coach at this level over the course of the year, at some point, you know, I imagine you collapse, but that is fun to kind of eavesdrop in on when you see it with the running backs coach screaming at people during the rookie mini camp, or when you get the head coach, you know, wrestling a microphone to the ground.
Is it worth noting that the players that you referenced in wanting to be coached and going to the coaching staff, two of those players, maybe the loudest among them, Mercedes Lewis and Keenan Allen, were not invited back?
No, I think it's pretty obvious why.
I'll get to your question.
And I like their leadership now.
Better. I like their leadership better.
I do too.
Yep.
How surprised were you that the tush push survived after NFL owners only got 22 votes to ban it? What do you think swayed the decision during a meeting that reportedly got a little heated?
Love a heated meeting. Let's get that out there. I love confrontation. I love Jeffrey Lurie going up there and what he had to say, standing up for his team and for the architects that came up with that play because they got the best quarterback to run it. And he mouthed off a little bit too much, and I like that they got pushback. I like that he got told, hey, you got women in this meeting, act like a gentleman. And I like that he was told, hey, you got any more of your nonsense? You've already taken an hour. I thought it was funny. I thought it was good, and I think that they had a serious conversation. Here's the thing. They were getting rid of that play not for fear of safety. That was the ostensible reason, and that's what they wanted you to believe. But the fact is they had no proof of that. They were getting rid of that play because one team does it better, and a couple of teams in their division didn't want to see it anymore. And I really believe that. And I think that the very fact that enough owners listened to what everyone was saying and said, yeah, that's not right, and they only got 22 of the 24 votes. They were close, and they were close going in. And they thought they had the numbers because everybody and their brother was saying the thing was going to be banned. So that means whatever was done on the day convinced a couple of people that it was only fair to back off and wait until someone twists an ankle or some injury occurs before you stop it over injury.
Interesting. They have a supposed that sources told Adam Schefter the team there were 10 teams names, so the Bears voted against it. The Bears also wanted it out, but as you said, it was 22-10, so it was fairly close. They only needed two more teams, but I think the biggest difference was Jason Kelce. If you're believing what you heard, the other part of it is, you know, safety supposedly is a big deal, and there is absolutely zero evidence that this is an unsafe play. There is no data that says anybody has been hurt or missed time because of this play. David, you said it many times. It's a football play. My first recollection of a play like this, I hated the play, and you could probably guess what it is. We go back to USC Notre Dame.
The push.
Okay, that was the first, and I said this is incredibly illegal. Now beyond the tush push, now they have offensive linemen who are downfield, and they get into kind of like a scrum. The offensive lineman will literally grab his running back or his tight end, mm-hmm. and he will like throw him forward for a couple more yards. That should be illegal.
Why?
Like, when did they ever teach you could do that?
Knock off the offensive lineman. Don't let him do that.
That's what I just said. That should be an illegal play.
No. If you're a defensive player.
Well, I don't. You're not. But then you might get holding called on the defensive player for holding on to the offensive lineman. I'm just saying there's other plays. I'm glad it didn't. But didn't somebody come after you saying that Kelce wasn't? Wasn't that towards the end of the show yesterday that Kelce, was it a texter, tried to say that you were wrong by saying that Jason Kelce was going up there to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you were right. And our reporting was right. Kelce wasn't just up there to stand there and look tough.
He went there and
spoke.
He broke down the blocking on the play.
And he said he would unretire if they could run that play more often.
He said if they ran that 60 times a game.
That's how much he likes to run that play.
Jason Kelce made an impact. He explained it. He answered questions reportedly. Jerry Jones had a couple questions. And this was informative. It was educational. And he basically, I think, won the day. Jeffrey Lurie, give him credit for addressing it. I don't know if he needed an hour to filibuster. That sounds like it was incredibly boring.
That sounds awful.
Contentious, yes. Boring, definitely. Goodness sakes.
An hour.
Find an editor. You know, it's
But see, what's interesting about that, sorry, one report said an hour, another report said 20 minutes. So we,
may
you
have
know,
felt
it's
like an hour.
20 minutes feels like an hour if a guy is repeating himself, right?
And then Troy, and Dustin, and then Troy Vincent, lighten
Troy
up.
Vincent, well,
okay, lighten up.
I don't know,
Troy
man.
Troy Vincent, get more upset about the fact that the information, that the language used,
yeah,
that information got out of the room.
Well, both okay, things
defend,
can be true.
Defend that. And also, don't you kind of work for the Eagles, Troy Vincent?
No.
Yeah, no, he works
for... He played for them. He played for the Eagles. He now works for the league.
Yeah,
he works
for the league. And those guys all league. Are
yeah. No, I think you're good passion, Dustin, but I think you're mixing things up here. There's nothing about Jeffrey Lurie. You can make your point without getting crude about it. And you don't even have to include ridiculous analogies that...
It was a dumb analogy. Just don't think that Troy Vincent needed to, like, then use that to, like...
Chastise him?
Right. Like, that information, in my opinion, we should not know that information. We should not be privy to know. We should know the vote. We should know who was for it and against it. I don't need to hear the blow-by-blow.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
Reporting. That's reporting. Stuff. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that was the best
We rely on reporting. How can you be
what's
against reporting? How are you anti-information?
What's wrong?
We survive on reporting.
Ask him what's
all right,
wrong.
Real quick. Jason Kelce made a difference. Jeffrey Lurie made a difference. Never has there been one play talked about and discussed more than the tush push, it seems. Let's move on because it's a play. It's a football play. You don't like it, stop it. Stop talking about it. Start doing something about it.
Can't be stopped. They would.
Can't be stopped?
It can't be stopped.
Lower than the lowest. It's a leverage game.
They have the timing. They know the time and you don't. I would say, though, David, that it is the kind of play they could still do without the push, right? They can still run a quarterback sneak. I think they'd still be good at it. You know, the other thing is, the first time I saw that play, didn't the fridge try to pick up Walter Payton and carry him over the line one time? And they called a penalty on
that. I don't remember
that. I think that happened.
I remember that.
And they called a penalty on it because you weren't allowed to help the ball carrier.
I just remember.
And then they changed that rule.
The attention started being paid in earnest when Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart scored from the one against the Irish.
You need to talk about USC also chickening out of that series.
How do we know they chickened out of the series? Was there a reporter there telling us?
We don't know.
Well, the contract the contract has not
no
been extended, and this is the
happened.
Last year of the
How
game.
Do we know that? From a reporter
but
who's doing his job?
It's a secret that shouldn't be reported.
When is there – I didn't go to Medill, but when is the – and I don't have a pass that gets me in every baseball game for free.
The double whammy.
But, again, what about, like, off the record, on the record type of stuff?
Right, we'll get into that later.
Thank you.
That's this question, a lot, obviously.
Several reports said the Blackhawks will hire Jeff Baschel as the next head coach. Thank goodness for reporting. We have discussed the pros and cons of Baschel, but do you think Connor Bedard was consulted? How sensitive do the Hawks have to be about making Bedard happy so he wants to sign an extension?
You know, this is all over the hockey world about yesterday. The NFL Network had a report that Jeff Blashill was already going to be announced and had been cited as early as today. Kyle Davidson is out of town, so obviously the Hawks were not in a position to make that announcement or maybe even confirm it. They may still be looking. But if Jeff Blashill is the next guy, I've got to believe, even though I'm not reporting this, I don't know this, I've got to believe they've talked to Connor Bedard throughout this process. Is that naive to think that, as much as we talked about the Bears maybe including Caleb Williams in some of the conversations about the next head coach for the football team, for the quarterback, don't you think that Bedard should have at least had some, I don't want to say, but awareness of what was going on? If not, I think it might be naive. This is somebody who you need to commit to, and you need to sign him to an extension. So if that wasn't the case, I'll be a little disappointed and somewhat surprised. Jeff Blashill is not a guy who's going to necessarily move the needle, but I do think that he is a guy that you'd have to give a chance, keep an open mind. It seems like they might be settling, but he also could do an excellent job of being the transition guy. I thought they already had hired the transition guy. We'll wait and see what happens next and wait for that next report.
Yeah, Connor Bedard should not be learning who the Blackhawks are talking to or who the Blackhawks are on the verge of hiring through social media.
Yeah, I would hope that he feels like he's a very important part of the organization. And I would hope that the general manager loops him in on things he's thinking about and what's going on, and just has developed a rapport with the kid because he is the future of the organization. And I would hope that they've got a good relationship. I suspect they do. And I'm with you. I don't know that I need to go to him with a list. Okay, which guy? You know, who should we go after? And I'm not going to tax him with my job. But I think, hey, you know, we're looking around. This is a really interesting guy. Let me tell you a little bit something about him. I would hope that those sorts of things are going on because he is. You better have that guy on your side, and you better have him feel like he's got a vested interest in sticking around here, without a doubt. What do you think? Is that a good hire, bad hire?
I think it's a good hire.
Okay.
I think it's a good hire given where they are and how attractive the job isn't right now to the top guys who want to take a job like Mike Sullivan wanted to get to the playoffs. Rick Tocchet wants to get to the playoffs sooner rather than later. The Hawks are several years away.
Yeah.
So I can understand why there was limited interest or tepid interest in it.
Well, let's hope it's a good hire.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.